I'm teaching following the law of faith. There's a law of faith how it works. And if you're not working it, you should not expect things to work out concerning faith. One thing is, I found out this over the years. God is very merciful. Oh, He's phenomenal, and how merciful He is incredible. So He's very, very merciful, and it's amazing how He does things and people get by, you know, and things, God helps. But you know what? It won't keep continuing. We found out with our nation. One of the reasons we're having the trouble, America kept getting by and getting by. Really, what people didn't understand is something that the Lord had spoken to me concerning the first presidency with Donald Trump when he was made president. And the Lord had said this to Randall Greer, and I hadn't really, I heard him say it, but I didn't really think much about it until the Lord spoke to me specific about it. He said that Donald Trump was a reprieve to America. So we need to understand God's a reprieve. Well, this is what a reprieve is. Legally, a reprieve is this. Somebody has a sentence, and they're sentenced. They have been found guilty of something. They've been sentenced. A reprieve does not remove the guilt or the person of the sentence. What it does, it withholds the sentence for a period of time. You know, they could hold it. You know, sometimes people have got reprieves for years on things. They have done that. But that's what it is. Well, when the last election and that stuff, and people always said, oh, they stole the election, this and that. You can go on to this or that all you want. The Lord told me what happened. When I asked the Lord the day after the election, I can tell you at home exactly where I was. And I said to the Lord, I had a sense that Donald Trump was going to be the next president of the United States. I had a sense. I mean, I can't say God told me. I just had a sense that he wasn't going to be. And he wasn't. I asked the Lord, well, what happened? And the Lord said, I told you what was going to happen. He said, didn't I tell you that Donald Trump was a reprieve to the nation? He said, America refused to turn. And he said, it's ended up like it is. You see, we turn around and say, the election was sold and all that. I'm going to tell you, no, it isn't. It's the church and all the things of not following God. The people of America decided they want to keep living in heathenism. They decided they wanted to do this. God said, I told you he was a reprieve. Well, that's when I went and looked up what a reprieve was. And see, things were held up. See, America, we need to make a change. We're seeing what's going on now. Well, are people wanting to make a change spiritually? See, many people, and many even Christians, they want a different government, but not really pushed toward God very much. You know, God, give us your goodies, but I'm sort of going to keep in the direction I'm going. This is a lot of people. Now, there are many, many good Christians that are after God, but we're sitting in a place in our nation that's really very dark for much of Christianity. Very dark. And we need to understand that. There's the things in our nation and all that stuff. I mean, the perversion concerning in Christianity and the preaching of what love is and things like that is so perverted and messed up. And understand this. God lets us, you know, as our nation, I know in praying for years in the past, I said this many times to God. Because I would look at things in our nation, I'd say, no, Lord, we're not being blessed because we deserve to be blessed. We're being blessed because you've been merciful to us. And I'd say, Lord, forgive us for what we're doing. See, you know, we didn't head in this direction overnight. People are like, all of a sudden this change was going on. This change has been going on for decades. But see, as long as people's pockets were full and everything else, ignore it all. As long as everything looks good and we're all doing, hey, ignore all the stuff that's going on. So I can take back to the 1980s. I mean, the Lutheran Seminary down in Lancaster County there, the seminary down there, had homosexuals in down there teaching in the 1980s in their seminary. You see, what they did is that the devil got people in and they had that stuff going on down there, slowly pushing them into leadership areas, slowly doing that behind the scenes, doing that kind of stuff. See, people wonder, well, how did all this stuff happen? Well, no, it didn't just happen. I know that for a fact because I know a minister that went to that seminary and he said, these guys, he said, I went to seminaries and he said, they'd cuss you out in class in a seminary. This is the 1980s, folks. Lancaster County. The stuff was going on. The stuff's happening. It's people just living in ignorance of things. And so we don't want to live in that place. We want to see, there's a law of faith and how it works. It's number one is you follow how it works. It's just like we said last week. There's natural laws, and the natural laws, you're going to have to follow things about those laws if you want things to work. You know, and if you don't, you know, one of the things I always look at, I'll always look at engineering projects and that stuff and things in the past where engineers tried things really to defy the laws of gravity and certain things and all these different things and see what happens to buildings and bridges, all this kind of stuff. Because people are not following laws and rules that are there. You know, if you're going to break a law in those areas, you better have another law that you can put in place that counteracts that, or you're in trouble. You know, I don't care how nice of a wing you have on a plane. When the engines stop, the ground is going to get close. That's just the way it is. So, there's a law of faith, and we want to follow that because I'm just going to tell you it. There is no greater law in your life to bless you. There's nothing else. Your job is not near the blessing the law of faith is. Ain't even close in the ballpark. All the things you have in your life and whatever it is you have in your life, they are spit compared to the law of faith. They're spit. Why? Because the law of faith can get you anything. Your stuff can't get you anything. You're limited in what your money can buy you. Faith is unlimited. Faith is an unlimited thing. But you've got to have to learn how to follow the law. You're going to have to learn. You're going to have to develop and learn to walk in it. And this is where people have problems. Now, I'm going to go into an area today. One of the things I'm going to read again that I did, the Lord told me to go back to this. And I'm going to go back over it again. On the areas we're going to specifically speak concerning some things of healing, but this things in areas of faith will work. It works in all areas. Faith is not different concerning the law. But it was one of the things I read last week that Kenneth Hagin had said when Jesus had talked to him about this and said to him, he said, divine healing is being healed by the power of God without any kind of medical assistance. He said, that's what divine healing is. You need to get that in your thinking. Because, see, many people, they just override things. They're trying to get divine healing, but they are going in a direction that divine healing is not in. So you have to understand how the law of faith works, how it works in areas, how it does what I need to connect. Now, he's not against doctors. God's not against doctors. He told him, if a person goes to the doctor, if they do that, they head and they're going to get any kind of assistance, he said, I want to help them. So he wants to help. Now, what does he want to do? He said he wants to give you a quick recovery. A quick recovery. So, I want to talk about that some. The Lord was talking to me about that. I wasn't necessarily going to go on this. I had some other things in my studying and I was going to do and some things the Lord had shown me before, but this morning it just came to this. We need to understand about this is a quick recovery. What do we mean by this is a quick recovery? Well, so let's put it like this. I was thinking about because getting an example this morning. You know, Mike Loser was, how many years did you work as a mechanic when Boyd had it? 48 years as a mechanic on BMW. Yeah. So some guy knows his stuff about these BMWs, especially from the years that him passed. He knows, huh? Volkswagen. Oh, Volkswagen, I'm sorry. Thank you. But anybody wants to know something, you go ask him about him, and I mean, he can tell you about those things. Now, one of the things that's working on him, they did this, and they do it today if you take your car to a dealership. If you take your car in, it has a certain problem, and they know what that problem is. They already have set up, and it's a corporate thing that is set up through Volkswagen, of how much time generally it takes to fix that problem. So, when the mechanic goes in to work on that, he gets paid by the amount of hours that it says it takes to fix that problem. So, he's like this. If a good mechanic, he might get it done quicker than that. He makes some money. Or if a guy isn't as good, it might take him longer and he'll get less money. And in a sense, it's a way it sort of protects the consumer somewhat. But the whole thing is, what they do is they set a designated time that that happens. Now, I want to say, the medical community does the exact same thing. They do the exact same thing. When you go to the doctor, you have a certain operation or something like that, they take you to the hospital. When they tell you they'll tell you certain things to do in periods of time. It is based on the same facts that they have learned generally when people have a problem, that generally it takes a person so much time to get to a certain point of taken care of to this point. This is what they do, and this is what they give you. So you need to understand that. I'm just going to say this. Now, this is not to knock anybody. If it takes you as long to get well as it does anybody who don't believe God or anything else, you did not get a quick recovery. And if you said you were operating in faith, it didn't work. Now, this is not knocking people. I want you to understand this, because you have to learn how to develop your faith. See, we can say all these things. This is stuff people don't like to touch. This is the stuff I learned to touch, and this is how I learned to get in faith. I decided this. If you're going to get, I ain't having anything longer than everybody else.
Amen. Preach.
I know this. If I do, I wasn't in faith. Because I'm believing for a quick recovery. That's what I want. A quick recovery. So, I don't go, if I went to a doctor and a doctor told me a certain time, I don't fight him or fuss with it about it. He can say whatever he wants. He's allowed to. You know, I went to him. He didn't show up at my door. I went to him. And he says, well, it's going to take you 6 weeks to get better on this and that thing. And I just thank him for what he did. And I go home and say, man, I'm going to be well in no time. This is going to work good. But you know what? I want you to understand this. It's what I say. I will guarantee you, a person who doesn't get a quick recovery has not guarded their mouth. Has not guarded their mouth. Or they have done this, and the Lord told me specifically to make sure I bring this up. Saying the wrong thing can bring a long outcome. Saying nothing can do the same thing.
Amen. Preach.
Mike said this morning, we have to give God something to work with. You know what I found out? People don't give God a thing to work with. See, my voice gives God to work with, something to work with. When I say, praise God, I'm having a quick recovery. I've already set God in motion. I've already set it in motion for my quick... God has something to work with now with me. See, I'm going to do this in this period of time. I'm going to do something on this period of time. Should I tell... Listen... We need to learn. I put a number of scriptures on here in the bulletin. It's about prayer. It's about asking God. See, you got to set things in motion about your asking. And when you ask, this is not a begging or anything. We're going to get more detailed into this. But there's some things that I want to bring out in practicalities in these areas. You know, this is one thing. I see people do this all the time, and I feel bad for them. You need to guard yourself in this. The reason people, too, do not have quick recoveries because their faith is in their feelings. Well, I'm going to go to work if I feel better. No, I'm believing God. Yeah, you're believing God. You ain't going to be well to go to work. That's what you just did. That's what you said. You don't plan on getting it. In other words, how I feel, my faith isn't going to determine whether I go back to work. My feelings are going to determine what I do. Do you get this? Do you understand this thing?
Amen.
See, I learned this over the years. You know, I'll tell you what, I can be feeling bad on Saturday night, but I'll say, praise God, I'm going to church tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
My feelings don't determine whether I'm going to go to church or not. My faith determines whether I'm going to church. My faith determines whether I'm going to work or not.
Amen.
I say, praise God. You know what? I'm getting up in the morning and go to work. Why? I plan on being well tomorrow. I plan on a quick recovery. Well, my feelings will determine my recovery. Now, folks, this is hard to hear because I know some of you have been doing this stuff. Now, but you need to understand what it is. Your speech is your faith talking.
Amen.
Your speech is your faith talking. What you're saying. See, I've learned to guard myself with people. You know, I don't have to tell people the dirty details of how I feel.
Amen.
I don't need their sympathy, and I don't need them, you know, to know and say, wow, you know. Because, you know, you always get the nosy people that the devil sends, and they want to and get you to talk, to say a whole bunch of things to keep you sick. And they'll be your relatives and friends, so-called friends and everything else, maybe even a mate.
Preach.
Oh, good preaching, good preaching. That's right. Ooh, my God, let's get a dancing now, folks. This is getting good. Tell me the dirty details. I want to know. People gravitate toward bad news. That's how the news media gets so big. Because people gravitate toward bad news. Christians gravitate toward bad news as quick as any sinner does. They love it. Oh, maybe I better stay behind here. I don't know. I just now look, I'm talking about, this is not criticism. I want, if anything, God wants you well. He wants you whole. Jesus went to that cross. He took your infirmities. What are you putting up with them for? Why is it? Why can't we talk about what we believe instead of what we feel? Why do we have to keep talking about how we feel? You understand, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. But we also walk by faith, but not how we physically feel or our emotional feelings.
Amen.
That's also true. See, we need to come to this thing and say, okay, yes, you know, I may have pain. You know, I may have pain. I don't have to run around. Do I feel better talking? Yeah, let me. Do you feel good when you talk about your pain? Do you really? Doesn't that excite you? It really brings you to the place of really an ecstasy when you get to sit there and talk about what your problem is. I found out how to get myself, I can have a pain, but I'll start talking the word. Not the next thing, I have joy.
Amen. Preach.
If you can't do that, you can't bring pain under control.
Amen. Preach.
See, we talk about we have a pain, but you might be the pain. You ain't ever been there? Come on. You know, don't lie about yourself. Lying ain't going to fix it. We've all been there. We've been a pain to ourselves, haven't we? Hallelujah. But I want you to encourage it. We're not doing that. This is not throwing stones at anybody. It's trying. We got to correct problems with things you have to deal with and confront. People can't keep doing the same things. If you're doing this stuff and nothing every time, you never get a quick recovery. As I said last week, I said, Wanda's an expert at getting a quick recovery. She knows how to do it. She knows how to get a quick recovery. And she does. She has understood it. But there's one thing is this, she guards her mouth. She don't talk about, you know, everything and everything else going on and all kind of stuff. She doesn't do that. Number one, it's like I said, Wanda is very good to work with as a patient and doing something. And I said, not just with a doctor, when she had her heart operation, and I was taking care of her, you know, helping her out. She's a very good patient. And she was one of them that you could tell, you know, that maybe didn't, you know, feel like doing something. Said, this is what you got to do. She'd just do it. You know, she'd go ahead and do it. She wouldn't sit there and whine about it and everything. Well, I just don't feel. She was never negative about any. Not ever. She's never negative about it. And, not think about it. I mean, she's operated. She had her whole breastbone cut open and they put those things in there and pry that thing open so they can get to the heart and all that kind of stuff. And then they wired her up shut. You know, you didn't just a little bit of sewing. They had to wire her shut and all that kind of stuff and going through. But you know what? You talk about a quick recovery. See, that's one of the things we believe in, a quick recovery. After 3 weeks, she had to see her surgeon. And I'll never forget walking in the room. I mean, Wanda looked like she never, that after 3 weeks, she looked like she never had an operation. She looked like she did. If you saw her, nobody had ever known she ever had one. You'd have never known it. And we went in to see the surgeon. And first we went in and there was she was a nurse, but she was almost like a practitioner of some sort, I think it was. But anyhow, she took all of her vitals and checking all this, asked her all these questions about all this stuff, about how she was recovering from the surgery and all the things going on. And I'll never forget this, when the surgeon walked in and he looked at Wanda, he got quiet. He didn't say something at first. He just sort of looked and he walked over and he looked in his charts. And the first thing, and he turned around and said to her, he said, did you drive here? Well, she said, no, I didn't drive here. You told me I couldn't drive for 6 weeks. This is 3 weeks. In other words, she's already, in a little over 2 weeks, is already past the point of where she was supposed to be. And what Wanda didn't heal her. God did. Why? Because she gave God an opportunity to work on something. She believed, she didn't talk any different than she was going to have a quick recovery.
Amen.
See, she had done this before. She had done this same type of things she had done before. Her recovery was so quick when the physical therapist showed up at the house after she got home. And physical therapist shows up and he sees her and he said, you don't even need to be seeing me. See, quick recovery is going on.
Amen.
Jesus said, see, I learned it. Jesus said, He wants to give. If we're going to go that direction, He wants to give us a quick recovery. I don't think He lied.
Amen.
And when I do different, I'm treating Him like He's lying.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want you to think about this. How important is God's Word to you? You've got to think about that. Mm-hmm. How important is it? However important you put it on, that's the direction you're going to go. I don't care what you believe. It's what you say and do is what's going to turn out.
Amen. Preach.
I don't care how much you say you believe the Bible. I'll tell you, 80% of Americans say they believe the Bible. How well is it working in America? You know what? I believe most of the people do think the Bible's true, but they ain't going to follow it for nothing. See, you people are squirrely. You ain't the norm. You don't go teach this stuff to those folks. You don't talk about this. This is talking to walls when you're talking to you. See, I want you to get a hold of this. What you do, what you say that you want, you may have a desire. See, the Bible says this concerning prayer in Mark 11:24. Whatever thing you desire or ask when you pray, believe you receive it. So in other words, that word there also can be translated. King James says desire. New King James asks. Either way, it can be said. In other words, what do you desire? Get this out of your head completely. It's not about what God desires. It's not about what God's asking for. God already laid out in His Word what He has offered you. This is what belongs to you. It's no longer what He wants. Another thing, and I've watched this, I've seen this happen so many times, and it turn out badly for Christians. Christians do this. Well, they're going in, they're going to have something or something's going on, and they'll just throw this out. Well, I just turned myself over to the hands of God. They think that's a big spiritual statement. There ain't no spiritual statement. The hands of God for what? You know, one time we have in Scripture that was done, it was Jesus, and that's right in the cross. That was seconds before He died. I put myself in the hands of God. Well, what did that say? How did that put yourself in the hands? Well, tell me what the end result was. How well did it go? I mean, think about it. I see what people say. God never asked you to do that. Jesus in the garden settled with God the direction of going. And He said, okay, now that settled, I'm in your hands now. This is what I said I'll do, and I'll go in that direction. Jesus wasn't just going in, well, we're going to see whatever God wants to do with this thing. I'm in His hands, it's going to turn out well. There's people who have been buried have done that. We set a direction. Faith has a specific direction, or it is not faith. It has a specific direction. Did anybody ever get born again, not specifically doing a certain thing to get saved? Did it just say, okay, I want to put myself in the hands of God. Yeah, and you're going to end up in hell. God already decided what you had to do to get saved. If you want to get saved, you put yourself in the hands of God, well, it ain't going to turn out well. I can just tell you that right now. And healing don't turn out that well either. People need to grab a hold of these things. Get thinking. Read what the Scripture says to do. Get out of the religious cliches. One of the problems that we have here among us, we have come out, especially like in my age, come out of a religious America. Taught all kind of religious. We have all kind of. I listen to statements and people making Christianity Day, and I see, I mean, good ministers and good people, and they say things, and I think, you know, it ain't nothing but a cliche. It's another religious thing said that don't amount to a hill of beans. And people say them all the time, think they're making some kind of spiritual statement. And you know what they produce? Nothing. They don't produce a thing. Remember what Jesus said? This is Jesus. He might not be that important. But Jesus said, you're going to be held accountable for all your idle words. The words that don't produce. See, a car at an idle, do you ever try to drive a car at idle? You can't get far. You know, my vehicle idles at 600 RPMs. And when you put it in gear, it drops down below that. And you don't get far. It's still even hard to push. They're called idle words. That's what the engine's idling. This is what people have, idle words. This is why you need to get in the Word. One of the first things, see, I came out of a religious background. There's many things that I rejected about the background I came out. But I found out there's things that I accepted as being true.
Amen.
That were wrong. And you got to learn to get rid of them. Because it's just like dirty water. If you have a belief that's like dirty water, you keep adding fresh water to it, you still got dirty water. You're still adding just fresh water and tainting fresh water. You got to get rid of that stuff. You need to sit down and look at the Word close enough to find out about the religious things you say and do. They'll affect your faith.
Amen. Preach.
I've run into people over the years all the time. People who have roadblocks in their faith because of certain religious beliefs they've never gotten out of. And their faith will only ever go so far on certain things. They can't get any further. They have those beliefs and they take them dearly to themselves, yet they're unscriptural. But they love them. They actually believe they get comfort out of those beliefs. Yet those comforts are causing them problems. They're comfort things that they say. They're the things that cause them problems. But they don't see it as that. You know, Wanda and I ran into a gentleman yesterday that we did years ago when we lived in Lebanon in Canal Street. He lived across the street, and his wife and him. Later, after we got saved, stuff, moved to Oklahoma and stuff, and came back to the area. You know, we didn't see him much. But anyhow, him and his wife had divorced, and I guess I know he remarried. I don't know if she did or not. I'm not sure. But anyhow, we just saw him, and he told us here his daughter, who was born while we were there. We knew his daughter. She's a little younger than our girls, but we just found out she died. You know, and I thought, you know, man, what a sad thing. I mean, this guy is younger than I am and looks 10 years older than I am. I mean, when I saw him at first and I saw him and he turned around, I mean, he ain't moving well and he doesn't look well. And I'm thinking, man, and here his daughter dies. But he says this. He says, well, you know, things are just, how did he put that? There's a purpose. He said, there has to be a purpose in it. I thought, your life's fallen apart. Your daughter died prematurely. There's a purpose in this? But I've heard people say that kind of stuff all the time. There's a purpose for my life being ruined? For me going, I'm thinking, what do you say when they believe this is a good thing? Like, see, this is religious junk. God's in control. He just decided to wipe our family off the map. Ed, you and Wanda are doing good because, you know, that's just what he planned for you. And he planned bad for us. You wouldn't believe how many people believe that. How many spirit-filled people generally live a life like that. See, we got to get changed the way we think about stuff. Well, this is all happening on purpose. When sin entered the earth, there was one purpose that sin does. Kill, steals, and destroys. There's nothing else in it. There's not something else. There's not a plan B. That's what it does. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and maybe a little bit better, but not great. I'll probably kill you anyway. It's like abundant life. Actually, that word abundant there is really not a good translation. Actually, that means to superabound. It doesn't mean just abundance. It means to superabound.
Hallelujah.
See, everybody took it toward the areas of money. But I'm going to tell you, it'd be good if we superabound in some health.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be nice? Let's get over and superabounding in the areas of health. Now, I want you to, one of the things that's talking about that years ago, and I back to the fact that I was sharing about what Kenneth Hagin, the revelation the Lord gave him, is dealing with that because the Lord had spoke to me about that years ago, and because I asked him the question, why aren't people aren't getting well, things are really messed up. He said, they're not following, he said, what the Word teaches. They're not following what I've shown people. They're not following it. They're not walking in it. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he took me back. He knew I knew that revelation. And he said, today, they just generally, I said, people walk up for prayer. And see, I've seen this. I've seen people walk up. In fact, I have done this already in a meeting where I have taught these two sides. And I was going to pray for people. And I told them, I want you to understand this. When you come up, if you want to come up for healing, are you believing God for divine healing? Or are you going to the doctor? I said, we're going to minister to you on either where you can believe at. If you can believe for divine healing, great. There's nothing wrong with you. We're going to get you a quick recovery. This is what you're going to get if you have to go to the doctor. We're going to get you a quick recovery. And I did this. And you know what? The majority of the people come up for divine healing, but I found out later, we're going to still go to the doctor. Because people want to put on a show for everybody. I want to think I can believe. I don't care what you can think you can believe. You got to know in your heart what you can believe. And when you lie against your own heart, you can forget it. You ain't getting healed. This is not a game we play. You know, it's one thing. It's like with Wanda. She, you know, when Wanda, you know, she's going to, before in other operations. Her and I always get. I'll tell you, we learn how to work this thing together. We're in it. Together. And you got to learn to do that. Amen. With your partner. Get in it with them together. You need to know how to stand and sit down. I don't care. You don't generally pray. I didn't generally pray for Wanda. Every time I'd ask her, honey, where are you believing from? What can you do? If you're not doing that kind of thing, you ain't doing the faith thing. You're not agreeing with the person. Number one, I don't care what I can pray. If my prayer is not in line with her belief, it is unbelief. There's no agreement. Agreement is based on, and it doesn't do me anybody. If I want to say, I'm going to believe for the miracle, and she can't believe it. There's no agreement. This is why people don't get healed. Because it's all this big religious game, and it is. It's become a game play. People don't know how the laws work concerning faith. There is no agreement if you're not believing the same thing. Amen. The prayer of faith is two people believing Mark 11:24 identically. And so, I go to her. Honey, where can you stand in this? Where can you stand? I'm going to stand wherever you can stand. I'm going to stand with you. That's where I don't pick and choose it. I'm standing with her. She isn't trying, well, I want to stand to his faith. It's fine if she could, if I'm believing something differently. But I want to know where she's at. And we've made it work, haven't we, honey? Amen. This stuff works.
Hallelujah.
Hey, she got 100% track record.
Praise God.
Do you?
Amen.
Well, it works. Amen. We know. We know when we agree on these things, and I find out where she's at. Another thing that I really appreciate about Wanda, sometimes I get a little more on the wild side a little more, and believe it. I get over here on the wild side, you know what? She never, never goes against where I'm going.
Amen.
She doesn't turn around and say, well, now, you know, you shouldn't have done that, or well, the doctor told you this or that. Hey, it's my faith and ain't yours. Shut up. Your unbelief is going to destroy things. If you can't say something good about it, don't roll your eyes and say, sometimes you don't have to say a thing. Just roll your eyes. Yeah, here they go again. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Preach.
I'm going to tell you what, ain't anything worse living with an unbelieving mate.
Amen. Preach.
Woo! You know it. If you live in an unbelieving mate, you know it. You know what it's like. Hallelujah. Thank God for the one that can believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You might not get them to agree with you, but I can get God to agree with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus will jump in with me.
Amen.
And you can do that. See, I'm just telling you, look, we got to deal with these things directly because people keep messing around in these areas and not ending up with what God wants them to have. And then they start building their own little doctrines of why it didn't work. And after a while, they have this belief system. It ain't scriptural, isn't it? Well, it's because of this that it happened. It's because of that. And this is the way God wanted it. He was trying to teach me something. Why? Are you so illiterate and stupid you can't read the Bible or you can't listen to teaching? We send our kids to school. Would you give them leprosy and send them to school so they can learn? Are you that bad that you got to be treated bad and beaten by the devil so you can learn? I mean, think about it. This ideas of this stuff going on. In the world, Jesus said you're going to face tribulation. He ain't the tribulation bringer. It's in the world system. Amen. It's just here. And you're down here walking in the dirt. Haven't you noticed?
Amen.
And the dirt wants to come and cling on you. And you might even be walking not right, doing what's good, following what's right. And it wants to cling on you. The first thing as I ever think of, it ain't God. God ain't sticking dirt on me. God's not, He's my helper. He's my strength in time of trouble. See, we read those things from the Psalm and then go say dumb stuff. The Lord's my strong tower. The righteous run in and they're safe. But sometimes He makes you sick for a purpose. He throws you off the top of the tower. That's why He got you in there. He just wanted to chuck you off the top. There you go. You got to get in your mind. See, I cannot see anything but God is gracious, good, wanting my best. I can't see Him in any other way.
Hallelujah.
Because if I can, I won't serve Him.
Praise God. Right.
If He's my trouble, don't tell me. If you think He's your trouble, don't you ever walk around and say God's good.
Amen.
Because that's a lie out of your lips. I can't imagine God being good and doing bad things. It's outside of my belief system. Get yourself clean of any thoughts and things like that going on. You should automatically, when you run into trouble, here, I'm going to tell you, I can miss it and run into trouble, but I know this, God wants to help me. If anybody's going to help me, it's going to be Him. If anybody's going to get on my side, when I repent, He's on my side. Come on, let's get this thing going on the road. Let's make this thing work.
Amen.
That's God.
Amen.
He ain't ever thrown anybody under the bus who didn't throw themselves under the bus. See, we need to get in our thoughts. We have these things. God's on your side. He's going to help you. He's not working against you. He's never working against you. What are you going to do if God works against you? If God goes against you, what do you do with it? If God's out to get you, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it down bluntly. All your praying and all your stuff, just forget it. Hang it up. Go hide under a rock with those guys in the caves and the rocks trying to hide themselves from the face of God. That's what I see that in the book of Revelation. I ain't there. Hallelujah. Even when I mess up, I can walk out in the sunshine.
Amen.
And call on the sun.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And He'll shine on you. Glory to God. That's your God.
Mm-hmm.
Throw anything out. It gives you any ideas or any thoughts that, you know, He's doing something bad to me or He's trying to bring something on me that's not good. Hallelujah. But we need to get ourselves over to the point. If you're heading in a direction, know how to stand.
Amen.
Talk in the direction you're going and then act in that direction. In the revelation that Kenneth Hagin got, his little booklet that he wrote, is how to write your ticket with God. If you don't have one of them, you need to go buy one. You go online, you get them a simple, do that. You know, don't ask me to buy it for you. If you do, it's going to cost you $50. Because I ain't doing it for you. There's one thing is you need to learn. You know one of the biggest things that helped my life? I invested in a lot of stuff.
Amen.
My money. Not getting somebody else to do it for me.
Amen.
You reap what you sow. If you ain't sowed into your own spiritual education, you don't sow so much into that, don't expect to get a whole lot. Good preaching. God's not mocked. Whatever man sows, what he reaps. See, everybody wants to believe God for money today, but don't want to spend the money to learn about God, buy the books and all the stuff and things you need to do. Man, I've been doing that from the time I got born again. I mean, the first month I started born again, I started buying stuff because I wanted to learn. I had a hunger. I had a desire. That desire wasn't because I was called to teach. That hunger and desire was in me because I wanted to know God. I listened to what Kenneth Hagin said about God, and I thought, that guy knows God different than other, but anybody else I run around to know God, I want to know God like he does.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And I said, so you got, you know, if you're just walking along, you know, I'll get something here. Maybe if I don't or whatever. Man, I'll tell you, I'm after it all the time. I'm listening to stuff all the time. I have stuff in my car. I get in my car. I'm not idle. I can pray in tongues and listen to stuff, listen to teaching over and over again. I need to be taught.
Amen.
I don't care if I'm a teacher. I need to be taught. God anointed people. He put them in the body of Christ to teach, and Christians ain't paying no attention, nothing, thinking, well, I got the Holy Spirit in me. I can learn. Well, forget it. You'll probably not learn a thing.
Amen.
God ain't stupid. He didn't put teachers in the church, and you don't need them. I need them.
Amen.
Thank God. Amen. I would not be near where I am at with walking with the Lord had it not been for others who went before me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And told me a few things. So I didn't act so stupid all the time.
Amen.
See, if you really act stupid a lot, it's because you don't know anything.
Amen.
Listen to somebody that knows something. See, when I find somebody, especially, I choose people in an area. Because why? There's some people who can walk better in certain areas than another person can. And if I find somebody walking in an area, they understand it. When I found out about Kenneth Hagin in the areas of healing, I said, I'm staying close to this guy. I want to understand. He knows this thing, how it works. I want to know what he knows about this. I want to know. There's others. You could go over in other areas. You could grab and say, now that person really does good in that area. What do they know? See, people don't do that. They'll stick with the same person that only knows one area, and that's all they ever do. And they got this one area of walk in their Christian life, and they can't get the rest of it. See, I know people who just took after the money thing, and they can't get healed for nothing. Because they won't sit down and listen. All they want to hear about is money. I know people, all they're interested in is prophecy, 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 prophecy. And they go that way, and they have all kind of trouble. Hey, you might want to learn about it. I read about things. God tells me to go over and read stuff. You know, I was reading some things yesterday, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me about things. I was reading some scriptures from some of the prophets in the past, and I thought, the Lord was showing me what he's speaking to Israel at this time. He showed me some things in scripture and the direction he's carrying, what he's going to do. And I thought, here I minding my own business over here, said the Holy Ghost takes you over here and shows you this. You see, you want to. It's good to know that stuff. But this is one thing. Let me just say this to you. What area right now do you have in your life that you're having difficulty with? That's the area you need to be studying. Uh-huh. If you ain't spending study getting teaching on that area, and I find this all the time. There's people, saying healing. And they don't really spend much time studying. Oh, I know what the scripture says. And they'll read some scriptures and they'll do this. They don't sit and study it, talk it and talk it and talk it and talk it. I have more hours of studying the subject of healing alone than probably all the rest of you got together. I did it. I wanted to go after something. You got to do it. The success in areas of healing does not come from not pushing after it and pushing after it. A guy don't get to be, you know, a billionaire because he was sitting around and, you know, welfare and wages. He didn't want over 40 hours a week. You know, he wanted a nice little job where he just got up and went in and didn't sweat under his armpits at all or nothing ever happened, and he wants to be the billionaire. I know that's the American dream. I want to become a billionaire and not do a thing. That's the American dream. That is the real American dream. That's the dream today. See, we have these things. It costs work. But you know what? I hate sickness. If you're willing to live with the problem that you have physically, you will.
Amen.
Whatever you're willing, it's about your, we don't mind teaching about will, it's your will. If you're willing to tolerate it. See, there's things I had learned I wasn't going to tolerate.
Amen.
See, when I had my heart attack, I wouldn't tolerate it. I remember when I was on my hands and knees on the ground, got knocked down. And one of the first thoughts that came to me, I thought about my father-in-law and all he went through with his heart problem. And I said to myself, I ain't going that way. I ain't having this. This ain't going that way. I ain't living like this. A life, to me, like that ain't worth living. I ain't just hanging on.
Hallelujah.
Whatever you're willing to put up with, you will.
Amen.
See, I know these seem like hard statements, but I figured, I got a hold of this stuff from people saying these things back when I was a baby Christian. You can't talk to people consider themselves adults about this stuff today. They get upset at you. They get offended. They get all this stuff. No, God talked this way to me when I was a baby Christian. And I'm going to tell you what, I wasn't Mr. Pleasant when I first, you know, I got born again. I wasn't Mr. Pleasant. I mean, I had to learn to bring my flesh under, you know. I still had some of that I want to choke you stuff. You know, I'm having to deal with that. I'm having to beat that thing down, you know, because that's your flesh.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, give you a wonderful revelation. Your worst enemy is not the devil. Your worst enemy ain't the government.
Amen. Preach.
It's not other people. Your worst enemy, the things you're going to fight the most when you go to the faith walk, is your flesh and unrenewed mind.
Amen.
That is your major enemy. That's what's going to happen. That's what the devil will use against you. Your flesh. He'll always try to get at your flesh. He'll always try to get you over into the flesh. He'll want you to make decisions by your flesh.
Amen.
How you feel. What you see. What you heard somebody say. What you do. Instead of focusing over, the Word says. The Bible says this. This is what it is. That's the battle. That is always the battle. When I went through the thing and having a heart attack, when I said I was going to go through run, the thing is battle. When the devil just told me, my flesh did not want to go for a run. My flesh was afraid. My flesh was afraid. It was afraid that if I did this, I would die. My flesh was working against me. My flesh, you go lay down and rest till the ambulance gets here. That's not a joke. That's what your flesh wants to do. Your flesh wants to say, I quit. The inner man, many times you have better going on in the inside, but it don't ever show up because the flesh is dominating and ruling. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something that's greater than that. Kenneth Hagin gave that revelation, was really good. But there's one thing as I learned about Kenneth Hagin. He knew his own spirit. You don't know your own spirit. You cannot be led by the Spirit. You got to know what's talking where. There's many voices and none without significance. The Scripture says that. What's talking to me? Number one, I found out my flesh can be pretty noisy. My mind sometimes can get noisy. But if I can't control them to know what is going on inside of me, what's happening in me? If I don't know what's happening in me, I wouldn't know if the Spirit was trying to move me in a direction or not. I wouldn't know. I got to be able to come in contact with the real me on the inside, what's being said. You see, there's one thing as I knew was when I had that heart attack, I knew this. I knew. I'll tell you what, I knew what my spirit was. I knew on the inside. My spirit was mad. My spirit was, we ain't going this direction. But how did it get there? Because God didn't put that there. I did by yielding to God, yielding to the Word, yielding to the Holy Spirit in teaching. I made myself strong on the inside.
Amen.
You're going to be strong. Thank God says, we pray for people, strengthen them with might by their spirit and the inner man. But you're not going to just have that happen and be a candy Christian. All you do is you got your little promise box. That's all we got. It's the promise box Christian, and that's all we got, you know. And no, you're going to have more than that. You're gonna be strong by what you do if you allow the Holy Ghost to teach you.
Amen.
Thank God. He'll strengthen us. That day, when I acted on the Word, the power of God came on me. And that anger that I had in my own spirit all of a sudden took over. See, because like Mike said, you got to give God a place so He can move. You got to give Him something. You have to, and it's by your spirit. Faith is of your spirit. It's not of your head. It's not of your wishful thinking. It's of your spirit. It's like this. It's one of the things, and let me just say this in that in teaching. And I, you know, because I knew certain things about that, but God cleared that up for me back in 2014 when He talked to me about finances, about money, when He talked to me. Because I asked this question, one of the questions I asked the Lord during that time period between 14 and in the beginning of 15, and the encounters that I had. I asked Him this. I said, you know, people go along about your need. God, this is the other scripture, God will supply all your need and all that kind of stuff. And I had this question because I've never had anybody ever make some things really clear to me about those things. The word need in the Bible. Because people always talk about need. Well, what is your need? What is it do you really need? Do you know what you really need? Well, I knew from a financial, God's talking about me and finances increasing. And I said, well, what do I really need? And He said to me, because I was talking about, well, He said, you're going to need a lot. Now, when you understand this, I found this out right away. He said, that has nothing to do with me. He said, you need a lot because He said, you have said all the time and it's in you that you want to have these so you can give to every good work. So He said, you're going to need a lot. And He said to them this, I do not determine your need, you do. Amen. See, you walk around talking wrong stuff all the time, you build in yourself a place where you can't really move in faith very much. Well, you know, some people say God will supply your need. See, you don't need the steak at Longhorn. You can go to the hamburger place down the street and eat of a hamburger. Because, you know, you don't need, you can get by with the hamburger. You know, you might like the hamburger and want to go there. But you can decide that yourself. But you don't put things in you. You're going to follow. And what's going to happen? You're going to follow what you put in your inside yourself.
Amen. Fruit.
And that's when I asked him. I said, well, how far can I go with this? He said, I don't determine how far you go. You do.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You determine. Well, I mean, to me, I thought, man, why didn't anybody ever tell me that? You know, because people have this idea that God's controlling everything. Hey, a lot of the faith people do, and I'm not knocking them, but they generally believe that God has sort of limitations on things and stuff, and there's certain places. And when I was surely shocked, because He dealt with me. Now, this is about you and what you want to do. How far do you, in other words, how far am I going to build in my spirit of what I need or how far I want to go? Well, if you're not doing anything, you're not doing much study, you're not building none of that in you. You're not building nothing in you. What do you walk around and say about what you need? What do you say about the direction you want to go? See, I've been for years walking around and saying, praise God, I'm going to have enough to give to every good work. See, I'd say that. It's just like as an example, and I've always used it with Mike and Darlene. When Mike and Darlene, I'll never forget when the Lord said about it. They were going to build a, they had made plans. I mean, they planned for a long time about the house that they live in today. And they got over this thing, and see, here's one of the things. What came to this is need. Because they started fielding Gilly, they were going too big, you know. Maybe we ought to tame this thing down a little bit. Now, I didn't know any of this was going on at all. I didn't know that was going on. And one day, just out of the clear, the Lord spoke to me and said, you go talk to Mike and Darlene. He said, if they build that house something lesser than they're talking about, he said, you tell them I ain't going to be in it with them. I can't. Because that's not what's in their heart. He said, what's in their heart, that house, he said, I can get in with them. Because that's what's in their heart. See, faith is in your heart. I don't care what's in your head. God ain't moving in your head.
Amen.
Faith is about the heart. What have you put built in your heart? See, this is what many people want divine healing. They don't have divine healing built in their heart. They never built it there. This is what happens. People run out of doctor and doctor can't help and they can't go. They die. Why? Because all they ever built was doctor. And maybe not even good build on that. Now, you know, you Presbyterians get quiet when we start talking about this stuff. Why would we think that all of a sudden something major happens and we've never built ourselves that direction, all of a sudden we just jump up and believe God? What on earth? And I have watched this all my Christian walk as a pastor. I have had to bury people believing like that. Won't listen, won't listen, won't listen. And all of a sudden the rock falls on their head. And they're trying to believe a place they can't go. See, you have to know what's in your heart, what you can believe. You need to have to know in yourself how far you can go in an area. If I want to go further, then I got to build myself in this area. I got to get myself over in this area to go further. That's just the way it works. Do you ever notice life works like that? You know, you don't become a brain surgeon going to an automotive school. Did you ever notice that? Well, I mean, we might have a few, but but I'm just telling you, why? Why would we think when we come over into God's kingdom that all of a sudden it's this, woo, and God just throws it on you, you know. He stands up there and he got this big glob of glory and he hits you with it when you need it to believe God. Don't work like that. See, I've learned how to bring glory. There's things you can do. I've done it already, poured the glory down, praying in a guy's bedroom, and the glory of God fell in that bedroom. I'll tell you this, he didn't pray it down. It lifted, and I prayed it down again. But see, you got to know some things to do some things. You always want to shoot for the goal. But you may have silver faith. Take the silver faith and walk in it. At least get the silver. But set yourself to build yourself from gold. See, this is one of the things. Psychology entered into the church. Actually, back in the 80s, it started. Psychology began to be able to taught among the faith people. They started teaching, oh yes, if you just have mustard seed faith, you know, that's all you need. It's just a little bit of faith, it'll do a big thing. Hey, how's it working today? Isn't this really great, all this mustard seed faith from all these mustard heads? But see, they started teaching these things, and they started telling people stuff. They started in this thing of this psychology in this area. Well, you're teaching too strong of a message. People don't, down here, they don't get it. I'm going to tell you what, I've learned this. I came into Kenneth Hagin's kingdom. I was a baby Christian, and I was listening to Top Shelf. I'm listening to somebody talking about the top, where you can make it to. You know what? I'm going to tell you what. If somebody don't show you where the goal's at, you ain't ever going to reach it.
Amen. Preach.
The goal is divine health. That's the goal. It's not divine healing. It's to walk in divine health. How you do it. They don't offer that today. Wouldn't even, faith people won't even think of it. They won't even let it enter their little minds. How do I arrive there? Well, see, if you don't know what the goal is, where are you going to go? You're going to, what happens? People do this. They set their own goal and they think that's God. No, see, there it is. It's one thing is I've learned this and listening to numbers of ministers, but also people from the secular who understand how people operate. If you don't set a high goal, if you set a goal down here, you're going to probably hit there. People almost always go less than the goal they want. You set the goal high, they hit a higher place.
Amen.
The candy church has killed the church. The candy faith message has killed people's faith. We're afraid, oh, you're asking them to go too far. Go too far with God's asking too much.
Amen.
Asking, wanting God's best is going too far. I'm like Paul. Paul said, you know, I'm seeing through a glass darkly. And he said, you know, I haven't attained yet, but at least I know where the goal's at.
Amen.
You don't know where the goal. What goal? What goal's your goal? What goal's your, is it a get by goal? Well, this is what I do. I'm going to get sick and then get healed. I get sick and then I get, that's my goal. You know what? That's the average faith person. We're just going to believe God for healing. We don't know how to keep anything off of us. We don't know how to stop it. We don't know how to, but this is what we're going to do. What a low goal. Because there's one thing is that you're going to get visited a lot with Satan. Because you'll get visited with it. You know, this is one thing, as I always tell you, with Wanda, as I said about last week, you know, Wanda working in a school. Now, working in a school, I mean, a school is a place where it's a sickness place. And Wanda never got the stuff that they got. Wanda wasn't sick all the time, and they'd get it, you know. So like I said, you know, the teachers would take all the, you know, the shots and the slings and that stuff, and then they'd be off where she'd come home and say, yeah, she'd say to me, yeah, there are a bunch of the teachers off. I said, well, they take shots. Yeah, they take shots, but they get just the regular flu. Let me just tell you this, with the regular flu, some years the regular flu shot is no more than about 20% effective. I just want to let you know this. Every year, the Word of God is 100% effective.
Praise God. Amen.
Every year. But see, Wanda walked away. She was around that stuff, and she didn't get sick. She'd come home and say, yeah, they'd ask me why I don't get sick. She'd tell them. And you know, even if some of them were Christians, they still didn't get it. The next thing that came around, they had it then too. So they didn't stop and say, well, man, I got to learn about this. No. Why? Because I'm just going to tell you why. If she would have said she was eating some kind of special chicken, they'd have all bought it. But when it requires you to study the Bible and seek God, we ain't going there. You can't get Christians to go there.
Amen.
Lives are so busy and so full. Mm-hmm. I watched this when people started this bit of, oh, well, I'm just so busy, I'm so just busy. And sickness rose at the level of business in the church. Yeah! When you're so busy, I know this, you're so busy, you ain't in the Word, you ain't seeking God, you ain't... The devil will come and visit. In the world, there's tribulation. There's trouble in the world. Hallelujah. Whether you want it or not, you know. Sort of like we used to play in hide and seek, and you'd say, you know, ready or not, here I come. That's trouble. Ready or not, here I come. Are you ready to stand against him? Are you ready? So, the week before, the devil kept trying to bring a thing on me, and I just, you know, I ain't having this. He can do his song and dance and do things, but I refuse it. I ain't having it. I ain't having it, you know. I just, we ain't going on it. I ain't getting fevers. I ain't going through this stuff. We ain't having it. But see, there's one thing. See, that's what I said. I started right away. I talk about it. I don't tell. Well, you know what? I ain't been feeling good, and I feel a little congested, you know. Woo, can't wait to tell somebody. I didn't even talk to Wanda about it. All I did was walk around saying, praise God, this thing ain't taking a hold of me. We ain't going this way. Uh-uh. No, I ain't laying down. Glory to God. You know, these thoughts come to me. What if this thing happens to you and you lose your voice? And your own spirit and the devil will talk to you and you lose your voice and you can't talk on Sunday. You know what my answer was that? I'm going to church on Sunday. I'm going to preach. That's what I'm doing. I have never had it one time, any time in my life, if I wasn't feeling good on a Saturday night, that I wasn't healed on Sunday morning. Never one time.
Hallelujah.
Many times I got healed when I came to church, when I didn't stop and say, you know what, I'm feeling as bad this morning as I did last night. Hallelujah! But I know this, you know what? See, There's Jesus said, don't forsake the assembly of yourself together. Mm-hmm. You know what? There must be something about power there to do, something going on there that happens at the church. People don't believe it. People will go to 400 doctor's appointments a week and never miss one feeling bad. Would not go to church because I don't feel good.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
Woo! Was that a good one? Well, they wouldn't miss it for nothing. Why? That's their faith speaking and acting.
Amen.
That's faith. They're having exactly what their faith is doing. See, one thing is I believe no matter how I feel, when I come in and I got to do what I got to do, glory to God, I'll do it. Why? God will fulfill His word.
Amen.
He's not a liar.
Amen.
He ain't trying to keep me out of the pulpit.
Amen.
The devil will keep you out of everything all the time. He will do it if you keep going along and all your stuff, something happened. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that. I don't know if we can do this. Because this is happening here. I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. I don't know. I don't know if we... I'll tell you what. I lost my job. I don't know if I will be able to go on vacation this year. But that's a good confession. You won't have a job till vacation comes either because you just said it. I'll tell you this preaching. I said, folks, this is the way it works.
Amen.
The reason people don't say things, they're afraid.
Amen.
You need to get in the Word till you lose fear.
Amen.
Because the devil will bring it. What are people going to think of you if it don't work? Oh, so you know what? I'd rather stay home than have somebody see me doing something that didn't work. See, the devil will own your life in these areas. That's your faith. You need to learn to get a hold of things. You know?
Amen.
I speak my future. Your faith is in talking is about setting your future. If you set your future by your feelings, well, we'll see at the end of the week how it goes, and then we'll let you. You just set your future. You just said, I ain't going to be feeling good, even up to the end of this week.
Amen.
See, well, we're trusting God. No, you ain't.
Amen.
You ain't trusting God. You just said. You don't plan on getting healed. I'll not have a quick recovery. Uh-uh. I'm believing for one, but my mouth and my believing won't let me have it.
Mm-hmm.
See, we need talks like this, folks.
Amen.
Because there's levels to rise to. The world needs us to ride to a level.
Hallelujah.
We want a glorious move of God on a weak faith. I learned this. Biden ain't my problem.
Amen.
He ain't near as much problem to most people than their mouth is.
Amen.
I know the guy's insane. I know that. But that's not my... I'm going to tell you what. He ain't stealing my joy. He ain't taking my peace. He's not going to do that. I refuse to give it up by my big mouth.
Amen.
He ain't going to do that. Hallelujah. I'm going to be blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because my God doesn't change because of what people are doing.
Amen.
If He does, He's flakier than I am. God, I hate to think my God would be flakier than me. We'd be in big trouble. You don't know how big a trouble we'd be in. God's not flaky.
Amen.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
When I wake up tomorrow morning, I don't care what is happening going on. My God didn't change toward me.
Amen.
And He hasn't changed toward you.
Amen.
You need to see that. Is His word true? Will He keep you? Will He uphold you? Is He a strong tower that the righteous run into and they're safe? Will sickness and will the plague be far from you or right next door? You know, living in one, you know, in one room in your house. You see, you know, we walk and we're talking and we're saying things and stuff going on. You know, get the blessing on your lips. Get the blessing on this is what you set your future.
Amen.
Praise God. No matter if the devil's using people trying to destroy you. You know, be like, I always like what David. David would start off some of those Psalms and he'd talk about all the crazy things the devils do, but he'd always end up, but God, you know what? This is what you do for me. You're my God. You do this. The wicked are going to get run over by the next truck that comes. This is hallelujah. I said, well, you talked. Hallelujah. They ain't going to make it. No. Well, you just don't know what the president's been doing. I'm going to tell you this. There's a truck going to run over them all if they don't straighten out. Hallelujah. But the righteous, you know what? They're on a firm foundation. Hallelujah. They're walking on a road that can't collapse. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
And the righteous are by faith. Stay on the road of faith.
Amen.
Walk on the road of faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what. You can revolutionize and change your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Change your life. I learned this. My mouth will maintain my joy. People ain't happy and down and out. And it ain't because you feel. There's sometimes I don't feel good at all, but you might not feel well. You know, I always think about this. Smith Wigglesworth, he used to get out of bed every morning. He said this, when he gets out of bed in the morning, he never asked my body how it feels. He said, every morning I get out of my bed and I dance around the room praising God. He said, sometimes your body's telling you to go lay down. He said, you know, you just have to shut up and you go dance around the room. See, act like God's real when you get up in the morning. No wonder. Well, in the morning, I don't feel good. I tell you what, I just have a hard time getting up in the morning. Yeah, you will every morning. You said you would. That's your faith talking. I've been up since 3:30 and I ain't having a hard time. Well, I need my 8 hours. Well, sure you do. You said it so many darn times, you can't get out without it. That's your mouth a-talking. I needed this and I needed that. Hallelujah. Why don't you change your need?
Amen.
Speak life to yourself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Speak joy to yourself.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to speak bad things to yourself. There's plenty of people to do that. You don't have to. Why join the chorus? Hallelujah. Start your own choir. Get over on this side. Start singing what the Word says about you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, the wicked are saying this. Hallelujah. But I'm the righteous and I'm saying this. My Word trumps them all. Hallelujah. The righteous's Word trumps them all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, maybe one day I'll get around those other scriptures. But the Holy Ghost, He just changed things this morning. But I'm used to that. I'm used to doing that. Hallelujah. You know, it's wonderful. I'm going to say this is good because, see, I get to study and meditate on those other scriptures all week and they do me good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, now I realize, you know, and seriously, I mean, I should do more study than you guys do, really, because, I mean, I'm paid to do it. And I should. I should be studying the Word and I should be getting in the Word, and that's those kinds of things we should do. But you got to have a study time in your life, not just something somebody else does, something you do.
Amen.
You need it. When a message speaks to you, you need to listen to it. Not go home and say, I heard that. If you haven't listened to it again, I'm going to tell you what, you just failed the whole thing. You won't remember it in a short period of time, and you'll go right back to what you're doing. See, when a message speaks to me, I'll listen to that thing and listen to that thing. You know, I was down, you know, at Randy Greer's meetings there in August. You wonder how many times I listened to certain messages spoke to me. You wonder how many times I listened to those messages. Wow, they were talking to me. God said something I need to hear. See, God speaks to people and they don't think it's that important. I heard it once. That's okay. We treat God poorly and expect a lot out of Him. That's good preaching. So you get yourself over. God's spoken to you. You get back. Do you know what? I go home and listen to my messages. Why? I get under the anointing. I say things. I'm going to tell you, I preached a sermon that I didn't study for. I want to hear this thing. It's one thing to stand up here and talk it, but it's another thing when I go home and listen to it. Sometimes,
amen,
man, things speak to me. It's like, oh, wow.
Amen.
Yeah. See, it's one stand on this side of the anointing, and it's another thing to stand on the other side of it and hear it. That's a whole nother thing. You know how many times I hear on the other side of the anointing and I sit here and say, my God, I didn't realize that. I'd say, that's right. I didn't go look that up. My God. You see, that's the gift in operation. It's not it in operation. It's the gift. It ain't my gift. It's a gift that Jesus gave. And that gift works outside the ability of men.
Amen.
Thank God it does. Because all we got is you and me. We're in trouble. Hallelujah. God's good. Glory. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I don't know, but I had a good anointing this morning. I'll tell you that. And please, don't take things that... We're not criticizing people. We need an awakening in the church. I need an awakening. I need to awaken to this stuff that, hey, we got to come back. You know, we were singing this morning one of the songs about, you know, about water, healing waters. You know, those songs came out of the Smithville revival back in the 1980s, Smithville, Missouri. Those songs we sang this morning came out of an album that was produced out of that revival. It was a town in Missouri which had about 800 people in it. And they had a revival, and I mean, tens of thousands of people came to that revival. And They had this huge, built this huge church at this 800. It was a revival moving. But see, healing water, we turn around in the areas, you know, it was like we're singing about those the healing waters of God and that stuff. When we were singing that song, the one thing that I thought, see, people turn around, see, well, we missed it today. See, the reason I like to go back and drink the water of those revivals, because I want to tell you this. Do you know why people ain't going further? Because they can't even walk any more than what they had before. I run into spirit-filled Christians all the time that used to walk up here, and today they're walking down here. Today they can't get healed for nothing. They used to walk in health. These people walked new things of God, and today they're just going by Christians. Oh, they play the spirit game like they're spiritual. It ain't no more than a game. And you know why? I look back in the past. I ain't going any further than the future than I am connected with my past. See, back here, there's things I was taught in the past. They're the foundations that carry me to the future. See, Isaac, he went back and redug the wells of his father. See, there's a spiritual principle. See, my father's dug wells. And you know what? I go back to my father. I listen to Kenneth Hagin all the time. I go back and drink from the well of the past because it's going to set my future. In the past, we went to services and we went to all those things and we were just hungry for God. Today, people, they ain't going to drink that water. I don't want to drink that water. I'm busy. You know what busy means? No anointing.
Amen.
No anointing on your life. Amen. No anointing on your words. You want anointing on your words. Woo! We want anointing on our words.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We say things we want to... See, I will go drink the past. See, loads of people, they threw away the past anointings. They threw them away. No, they're always talking the future. I'm going to tell you what. The water I drank in the past is what sustained me heading
Amen.
To the future.
Thank you, Lord.
There's water to drink in the future, but the foundation of the past will sustain me.
Amen.
You can't throw it away. Glory to God. We had a good foundation put in us, didn't we? Glory to God. Amen. We had a foundation put. And I ain't giving that foundation up for nobody for a new thing.
Amen. Hallelujah.
See, people come along and say they got a new thing, but you have to give up the past foundation to have it. Mm-hmm. That's the devil. That ain't nothing
Preach.
But the devil.
Preach.
Oh, we know more today. We're so smart. So, yeah, well, how's it working? Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed to walk back to the past. Don't be ashamed to go back and rebuild your foundation. I go back all the time to relay things about my faith again. If I find myself sort of wavering, I go back to the back. I need to go back here and drink some of this again. Hallelujah. I go back here and drink a while. Now we're ready. Hallelujah. We're building something now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Get the hammers and saws. Here we go. Glory to God. We want to do that. Father, I just want to thank you today. The greatest thing, the Lord God, I want to thank you. You're a God of great mercy. Oh, Lord, you have given, and in our nation, you have given the church such a huge amount of time to turn. And I want to thank you, Lord, because you do. You have wonderful people who have hungered and thirst for you. There are people, Lord God, all over this nation who go after you, who really want you, and they want the truth.
Amen.
Lord God, there's many people that are outside the kingdom. They just want the truth. They want to hear it. They want to know it. And Father, I want to thank you. Lord God, I give you permission to shake me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And to shake me up. Lord God, that I'd reach out further. That I'd take a hold, Lord God. Hallelujah. That I would, Lord God, that I wouldn't release on this faith that was given me. Lord God, that, Lord God, I just become like a bulldog just to hang on to that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord, to be unmoved by truth. Amen. Lord God, I refuse to be offended, Lord God, about the truth. I won't do it. Hallelujah. Whether it means I have to correct myself, I refuse to take offense. I refuse, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, I don't have to have no shame in being corrected. Lord God, if we've missed it, I want to know it. If we need to do something more, I want to know. Hallelujah. We want to know. That's our desire. We're not trying to miss anything. We're not trying to. Lord God, we're hungering and thirsting. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, we have touched things in you. And Lord God, We want to touch it more.
Amen.
We want to touch those things more. We want to go deeper. Oh, Lord God, we're singing about that today. Lord God, we want to go further. We want to go deeper. Hallelujah. We want to go further, Lord. We want to reach into something more. Hallelujah. We want to know you like you know us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm just going to tell you, I know this for myself. I ain't going to be disappointed.
Amen.
I'm not going to be disappointed.
Thank you, Lord.
Ask and it shall be given to you. Hallelujah. I'm asking and it's going to be given to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And let me say to you, is it going to be given to you? You better say it. Hallelujah. See, you say it. No. See, it's one thing I'm not thinking. Say it. You get it on your mouth. Hallelujah. He's going to reveal to me. He's going to show me. Hallelujah. I'm asking. Hallelujah. And He's doing exactly what He said. If I ask, hallelujah, He's opening it to us. Hallelujah. He's opening us to see and understand and comprehend. Lord God. Hallelujah. We want to walk in a greater, higher place, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for the vision you've given us up to a point in our lives. But Lord God, I believe there's things beyond that we can see. And Lord God, I thank you. I believe we're hitting a place where further vision's coming.
Amen.
I believe we're hitting a place and further vision being open. And I thank you. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. Lord, we want to be like our father of our faith or our daddy of our faith. His name was Abraham. Hallelujah. We want to do what he did. Lord God, you blessed him and he was a blessing to the whole world. Hallelujah. He became a blessing to the whole world. Hallelujah. Because he walked by faith.
Amen.
Glory to God. Lord, he believed the impossible. But he believed it and he walked in it and did it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, Lord God, he took on the name of a father of a multitude decades before he became a father of a multitude. Hallelujah. But he called himself every day. Hallelujah. His wife was saying, Abraham, father of a multitude, father of a multitude. And he ain't got no kids. Well, he's called the father of a multitude. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, we're a people of a multitude.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed. Hallelujah. And we're a blessing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for it. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're going forth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God. Father, we're building something big on the inside. Because that's where it all starts. Something big on the inside. Hallelujah. And it'll show up big on the outside. Thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I want to ask this question here quick before we go, though. Now, we're talking about healing and things and that stuff. Does anybody want agreement on healing? You're dealing with anything, you want agreement. I mean, you can believe God, a quick recovery. Agreement's a powerful thing. I mean, Wanda and I proved just the two of us. And I know here in our church, we've agreed on things already and stuff that has happened when people get together. There's power. This is one of the things that I believe in getting together at the church. See, I've always thought if I can get in the church, see, you get in among the people, especially people of faith.
Amen.
And I thank God, hearing Kenneth Hagin teach on that, about the fact that the corporate anointing is greater than any individual anointing. Well, see, I come to church. I don't go to church just because, well, the Bible says you're supposed to. Well, you might as well stay home with that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
No, I go to church because there's a purpose, and God established the purpose. Ed didn't.
Mm-hmm.
God established that is the place where people of like precious faith come together, and when they come together, you know what? There's power to produce things you can't produce by yourself. And I know this. If I get in the church atmosphere, see, this is why people don't feel good. They don't go to church. You know why? They don't believe we're going to get nothing if they go to church. Now, let's be honest about it. They don't believe we're going to get anything. They go to the doctor because they believe we're going to get something. Now, let's be honest. This isn't weird. It's why we do it. You know why I go to church? I believe I'm going to get something. I believe I'm going to get something. If I show up, wow, there's people of faith there. Dear Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You get in an atmosphere of faith. You know, we're out there in the world trying to walk around here, out here, and there's unbelief all over us and around us. And then people don't go to church. And wonder why they got all the problems they got. Well, you're going to have all the problems they got. That ain't going to change.
Amen.
I'm going to stay away from the anointing. We don't want to get around any of them people that can believe God, my word. Something good might happen to me. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going down that doctor who hates Jesus. I'll go to him if he can give me a pill. I was in a church, a church that we were in years ago. And at the end of the service, in fact, I had ministered in that service. At the end of the service, we came up, and really it was the leaders of the church came up in front, called people up to pray for. We want to pray for people. This woman comes up. She's in her 70s. It's the first time in the church. She came up and I talked to her. She stood in front of me and I talked to her. She said, I want you to lay hands on, pray me for healing. She said, I found out you guys, she said, church and what church she goes to. Well, the church she went to didn't believe in healing. Like, you know, we did. She said, well, I found out you guys believe in this. She said, I was given terminal, you know, healing for terminal cancer. They said I only have 4 months to live. So she said, I want you to pray for him. We said, sure, we'll pray for you, dear God. Hallelujah, we'll pray for you. We laid hands on and prayed for her. Well, I saw her about a year later. She came to me. And here's what she told me. She said, I went back to my doctor, and she was up at the medical center. And I've run into some really good Christian doctors already up there. I've run into some guys that they believe in God helping. And I ran into men and women up there that were really good. But this doctor told her, she went in, she said, I went to a church on Sunday, and she said, I got prayed for, and I believe I got healed. And the doctor said, you don't need God. You need a good doctor. Well, she did get healed. She got completely healed. I saw her up to a 5-year period later. She was still healed, and she was, you know, 5 years older than she was when she got prayed for. So she's hitting 80. And she's still living. Hallelujah. Why? She recognized going to a place of faith. I don't understand why people call themselves spirit-filled and don't recognize faith. Don't recognize a place of faith where people agree with. I just don't understand it. It's beyond me. I always think about that lady. Here she is going to church and they don't believe in it. She's the woman with the issue of blood. She said, well, I heard about Jesus and I'm going over here. This church, they believe in this and I'm going over there and people believe it.
Amen.
And the spirit-filled people say, yeah, I'll tell you, we believe in that healing, but I ain't going to church. Yeah, we believe in it about... Oh, don't throw rocks at me. Come on. When you come to church with a purpose.
Amen.
It's about the anointing of God here. And it's all of our anointing. It's not just one person's anointing. It's not... Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Because if you folks get into unbelief, the anointing will wane on me. The anointing moves strong on me because you put up with it. It isn't because you hear everything you like to hear. Sometimes you don't. But you're willing to hear. And God will talk. I've learned this. I've preached at places. And you can't tell the truth. They won't tolerate the truth. And so the anointing just wanes. They won't tolerate. So there's things that God wants to say to change things around. They're praying for change that will never come because they won't allow it. God, change. He said, well, I got to change you to do that. Uh-uh, you ain't changing me. Uh-uh. No, no. No, you need to change Mike. I tell you. I said, people, they think it's always somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. We need to change.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Hallelujah.
We're just people. That's what we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we ain't in perfection, and we don't know it all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But the know-it-all lives in us.
Amen.
I ain't searching for the know-it-all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's done moved in.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, huh? Oh, who? Oh, you come out. You're coming out. Okay. We're going to give agreement? All right. We're going to agree. All right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now we were teaching today about, now we were talking about the things of, from prayer, from the standpoint of believing for divine healing without any kind of help with the doctor. But if you're going to the doctor, we want to believe for a quick recovery. Which one of them? There's no shame in none of it.
No. I'm not going to the doctor.
Okay. So you're standing for divine healing.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Glory to God. So we can stand with you. That's the direction you're going.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's have people come up here and join up. We're the church, you know. Hallelujah, we're the church.
God's big enough to do it.
See,
my God's big enough.
That's right. You see, this corporate anointing, one thing you see is we do it faith. We're agreeing. It's powerful when people agree together. It's a powerful thing. It's like I said, when one and I, just the two of us, what do we do when all of us stand up together? See, one will put 1,000 flight, two will put 10,000.
Amen.
What did 10, 15 of us turn it into? Ah! See, there's a lot of power of it. We're going to talk about that in teaching as we go on in this thing. We're going to talk about this, the power that's available Amen. In the church.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. The power that's... See, there's power of it. Understand this, all of us. God is here today, right here now.
Hallelujah.
He's here with all His healing power.
Amen.
See, it's just like, you know, every one of you came to church today. You didn't leave any of your ability at home. All your ability comes with you.
Amen.
What you are and what you can do, that comes with your wisdom. It all comes Amen. With you. You come there. You want to say, you know, I think I'm gonna leave my brain at home today, and I'll just come down here. I've met a few people who do that. But anyhow, we don't do that. God doesn't. God's present everywhere. So God's power's here. Say, well, you know, I don't feel it. Well, lots of times I don't. You know, I feel the anointing greater mostly when I teach and preach and I do other things. But the greatest miracles that I have ever seen in my life, in ministering to people, I had no anointing that I felt on me at all. Mm-hmm. Yet things happened that astounded me. I just,
Amen.
Well, it wasn't me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, I'm so glad I don't have to heal Rose.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But I'm going to tell you what. Healing will flow through us.
Amen.
All we got to be is a live wire. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, I want to thank you. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, because you're here today. And you're here, Lord God, and you're working in the church. Lord God, your miraculous miracle power is working right here today, going into Rose in the name of Jesus, bringing about a healing and cure to her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. I think life's flowing in her. I thank you the Holy Ghost that's in her is quickening her and making her alive in the name of Jesus. I thank you all sickness, disease, any weakness in her body leaves in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We the church declare it. Devil, you shut up in the name of Jesus. You have no voice against the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Health is hers. Hallelujah. It's already been paid for. She don't have to earn it. It's hers in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Lord God, she's strong and in the Lord in the power of His might. Hallelujah. I thank you. She's full of life in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Your power is flowing through your people, bringing blessing in the name of Jesus. Blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 God is good. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for healing Rose. Thank you for healing Rose. Thank you for healing Rose. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. We believe, hallelujah, that she's healed. We believe we received it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In the name of
Hallelujah. You see, when James talked about praying the prayer of faith. Praying the prayer of faith is believe you receive something. If you're going to pray the prayer of faith over somebody, you believe they get something. When you're done, you start praising God they got it.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Because the prayer of faith has not been prayed if you didn't believe they got it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You got it. You got it. And we agree you got it. Hallelujah. Because the prayer of faith will heal the sick and the Lord will raise them up.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, it excites you when you follow the word. Amen.
Amen.
Blessings, brother.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
We love you. Hallelujah. See, isn't it fun when you do the word?
Amen.
You see the joy it brings?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, see, you can do that in your own life.
Amen.
Do that. Do those things in your own life. Do those kinds of things in your own life. See, when you turn around, see, when I pray something, then I get up and I'll just praise God, hallelujah, I got it, it's mine. Do things to cheer yourself on. Especially they get done praying and they just walk away. And they, I believe I got it, hallelujah.
Amen.
Get cheering.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, you're good listeners, folks. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, you're blessed. The Bible says you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Glory to God.
Amen.
Have a glorious week.
Hallelujah.